bringing the stories of people just like us directly into your home and learning more about them. This is Trent Speaks. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back into yet another week on the Trent Speaks podcast. I am Trent, and still I am speaking. It is Thursday, March 29. The end of March already. We are 3 months done, practically, with 2018. 2018 is just flying by. So let's get right into it, because if it's flying by, I'm sure you've got a lot to do. This week, I talked with a person I've never met before, which is good, because I was thinking earlier this evening, it's Tuesday right now, but I was thinking earlier this evening on my drive back from my massage I just had, how I've only had one female guest. And it's funny because I have more female friends than I do male friends, which there's nothing wrong with that. That's just the way it's worked out. It's not a female guest this week. Last week was my first and only female guest thus far. We'll get around to it. But my guest this week is someone I've never met before. And that was the other thing I was thinking about on the way home, is how all the people I've talked to so far are friends of mine or people I've had interactions with quite a bit. This week's guest is someone I really haven't had an interaction with quite a bit. He'll kind of talk a little bit about it in the interview. We have a mutual interest in the Eric Zane Show, which you can listen to on 107.3 WBBL on the app or in the Grand Rapids area. So shout out to my buddy Eric Zane. But this next guest of mine, this week's guest of mine, we kind of met through a Facebook group of listening to the show together. So we've never actually met in person. This was our first ever interaction, was here over the phone. And that's okay, because it shouldn't be about just people I know. For me, one thing I always talk about is expanding your comfort zone. And for me to expand my comfort zone, I need to get more people on here that I don't talk with every day, or that even though I may be Facebook friends with them, I don't want to say I'm not friends with them, but it's just a different type of relationship that I have. All right, enough rambling for now. I'm going to jump right into it. This week's guest is Saul. And what you should know about Saul is that he's blind, and he kind of talks about, how that all got started.
I was born blind. I was born on July 23rd, 1996, with ROP, or retinopathy of prematurity, and I was born 1 pound, 11 ounces, and I was actually born as a triplet, but my sister passed on when she was only a day old, so it's just me and my brother. My brother actually had ROP too, but he didn't progress as worse as mine, and he is actually sighted, so.
Oh, wow. Okay, so yeah. Does he wear glasses or anything because of it?
Yeah, he does.
So what have been the biggest challenges growing up blind then? Like, I guess one thing I was talking to my wife about yesterday when I was saying how I was going to be talking to you today, I said, like, well, I don't know how he reads. Do you read Braille, or how does that all work?
Yeah, I do read Braille. I've read Braille ever since I can remember.
Okay.
Like, I use a cane, even white cane, even though many times I've been asked if I was going to get a guide dog. I do not see myself getting one in the near future, and I do not want to get one.
How come?
Well, it's, yeah, you have to know the area you're traveling in very, very well.
Okay.
If you want a dog, and you have to, and then I don't know. It's just not something that I'm comfortable with.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And like, I mean, I'm sure it's just something that you'd really have to want to invest in of trying to figure that out. And I'm sure it's a whole different ball game once you do throw a dog into the picture and everything. So, I guess kind of talk to me about growing up blind. I'm sure that there's just a lot of challenges and stuff. What were some of the biggest challenges or the hardest things to learn as you grew up?
Part of that was to appreciate the sighted world. Like, if people try to explain what things are, like colors, and I like colors. I have a favorite color, but people try to explain things to me, and it's hard to get the concept of it.
Like the visualization of it. So for example, so I, when I'm on the radio, or when I'm on the radio, when I'm listening to the radio, listening to a sports cast, my wife always tells me, she goes, "I don't know how you follow that." She goes, "I can't visualize it." And I said, "Well, it's easy for me because I can visualize it, but how is that for you? 'Cause I know that you go to the Griffins games a lot and that you listen to a lot of the play calling and everything. How is that in terms of you for visualization during those sporting events?
Well, when I go to sporting events, like the Griffins or Whitecaps or whatever, I bring a radio with me so that I can listen to the game as it's being played out. Or I also listen to it at home too. You know, I know the rules of the game. Like, I know how it works. So I'm kind of thinking about it, but you know, some of the deeper stuff, like when the color commentator starts talking about stuff that I have no idea what he's talking about, then I don't really pay attention to the color commentator mm-hmm. that much. But well, sometimes I don't know. I just depends, probably. Yeah, it just depends.
What is your favorite color? You had mentioned that earlier.
Oh, my favorite color is red.
How come? Why red?
Oh, I don't know how it came to be. It's just one of the weirdest things ever. I don't know. There's really no explanation for why my favorite color is red. It just is.
So I have like a million-dollar question that I started, but I want to save that until the very end because I want you to leave us with some good guidance and something to think about for the week. So I'm going to move on a little bit. I know, so Saul, I know that you are Jewish. It's something that you're very open about. Describe to me, because I'll be honest, I'm not very familiar with the synagogue. Kind of describe to me, what is the synagogue, what it is, what do you do at the synagogue typically?
Well, in synagogue, in Hebrew, it's called the Knesset. It's like the Jewish equivalent of a church where people go to pray and where people have all their services for the major holidays. In Israel, if you say, "I'm going to the Knesset," it's something different. The Knesset in Israel is the Israeli parliament. So it's a term that means two different things, but in Yiddish, it is also called the shul. So it also has another term that way. And our Grand Rapids has three synagogues: the Conservative Synagogue, where I attend and where my dad is a rabbi; the Reform Synagogue, which has slightly more membership; and then we have a very small Orthodox synagogue, which is the strictest sect of one of the strictest sects of Judaism that there can be. Like they don't. Men and women don't sit together during services, and they're very. They take their religion to the max, and those are the three types of synagogues. And depending on the type of synagogue, services can last from 90 minutes to our service on Saturdays, which lasts from about 2.5 hours or so.
Oh my goodness.
But once a month, we have an abridged service. So there's a Torah study. Torah is the Old Testament. It's the first five books of the Bible. It starts an hour prior to the service, and then the service lasts about 90 minutes because we eliminate prayers that are non-essential. And we use prayer books. We use two different sets of books. One called the Chumash for the Torah reading, and one for the regular prayers called the Siddur. And occasionally we'll pull out some other books, like we have some other separate books that we read from on certain holidays prior to the Torah service, like on Shavuot, which is a holiday when Moses, about us receiving the Torah from Mount Sinai, we read the book of Ruth. And then on Passover, which is coming up starting this Friday, we read the Song of Songs, or Shir HaShirim, on Saturday of Passover itself. If I could, Passover is an interesting holiday because it celebrates how we were once slaves in Egypt, and now we are free. And there's a lot of parallels to Passover in our regular everyday tournaments, and there's so much tradition and order that go into it. Like on Passover, they have seders, which seder means order. It's like a service, during the service, we foretell the entire story of Passover, and there's all kinds of rituals and all kinds of food. So some of these holidays can be quite intricate, and it's really interesting when you really dig into it.
Well, it sounds like it's something you really value. Like, I never knew that there were different terms or different types of synagogues. Is that something that you attend every week?
Yeah, I do attend synagogue every week, or most weeks I do. There are some weeks where I don't feel like going, or you know, if I'm sick or something, I don't want to go anyway. So most every week I'm there, and some I even leave the service on occasion too, because we have many synagogues have what is known as a cantor in addition to their rabbi. A cantor is someone who leads the prayers and leads the congregation in singing. It's an easy way to remember it. It kind of sounds like canta, which means sing in Spanish. So, and then throughout the year, our synagogue has other events that are not associated. You know, like any church, they have events that help to bring the community together and get people to know each other. So, and we have our own Jewish Federation here, which rents space from our synagogue, along with a preschool and a Unitarian church. And so the Jewish Federation plans events, and the other 30 synagogues also plan their own events, which they are, the community is all invited to come. And so it's quite a collaboration. Grand Rapids is not as big of a Jewish community as many other cities like Detroit or Chicago, but it's still a great place to enrich my faith. And we don't, many communities have day school, Jewish day school, which is kind of like, which, you know, runs every day. It's kind of like, it's kind of like Christian day school, but, you know, the Jewish version, we only have it on Sundays and Wednesdays. And Wednesdays, it only goes up through 7th grade or 6th grade. So, it's not, you know, it's not a very, 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 very big community, but there's still a lot of passion.
So how do you know all these language translations? You kind of were talking about the translations of what the synagogue is and everything, and you just mentioned something about Spanish as well. Do you do this in your free time, learn different languages?
Well, I'm not fluent in any language. I'm not fluent in Hebrew or Spanish. I only took 1 year of Spanish. I didn't have to take Spanish in high school because there was a foreign language requirement. There was something that had to do with something that couldn't be translated and something that couldn't work. I don't remember why I didn't take Spanish, but I learned a little Spanish. You know, I used to watch Dora when I was little, and I did take 1 year Spanish in 5th grade, so I do know a little Spanish, and I do know a little Hebrew from the service, and my dad did teach a little conversational Hebrew class, and then I also went to Israel, and I also learned a little Hebrew, too, so, oh, sorry about that, my bad.
That's all right.
I didn't hear that. So I did learn a little bit of Hebrew from different places, and I do not like learning about different, I mean, I like learning about those different languages, but that's not something that I would normally do in my free time, so.
You've been to Israel? What was that trip like, and what were you there for?
Well, I was in Israel. I happened to be scrolling through my email. I use a computer with a voice on it that speaks what is said on the screen. What you see on the screen is said by the voice. It's called job access with speech. So I was scrolling through my email, and, you know, I've attended this camp called Camp Ramah, which there are many, many camps all over America. And I went to the one in Canada, and every year they host a trip to Israel, and everybody from all their camps gets together, and they do this one trip, and I was already on the list, an email list, because I was a former camper, so I got an email, you know, hey, want to go to Israel? You know, Rabbi so-and-so is doing a promotional tour, and he'll be in these cities and these cities. And originally it said, contact this person if you're interested in attending. So originally I, you know, dismissed the email as, you know, okay, I'm not, never, I'm never going to get to go to Israel. I'm only, you know, I'm too young. I'll have to wait when I'm older. But I considered it. I put a second thought into it. I'm like, you know what? I might as well respond and see what happens. So I got connected with the rabbi there who travels between New York and Israel because he's one of the higher-ups at what they call seminar. And I got connected with someone named Elizabeth who lives in New England, or not New England, not Maryland, but she was the chaperone for another person with disabilities who also went to Israel a few years back. So she came to GR in January, February of that year that I was going to introduce herself to me, and I got to meet her, and I know it was one of those months because there was still snow on the ground. And so, you know, we got to know each other, and then I went to Israel, and it was really challenging. I mean, some of the hikes, I did not enjoy the hiking part because the terrain is incredibly difficult. I mean, I think there's a picture of me of one picture of me standing on like a cliff or something, and my knees and feet are shaking because I don't want to fall. And the tour guide would start talking, and like I could hear what she was saying because she was using a megaphone, but I wasn't. The terrain was so difficult, I couldn't really. It was hard. By the time we would catch up, she was already like halfway through her spiel about this place. So that was one of the things that sort of annoyed me. But I hate to digress. But it was really a magical experience. I really got to connect with my faith more and see see where the religious aspect came in. Like I climbed Mount Masada. I went in the Dead Sea, which I have learned that it's rapidly shrinking because of climate change. So it's interesting to see what it is before it all dries up. And I got to visit the Western Wall, and I had pre-brailled out a note using a typewriter-like device called a Perkins Brailler to write out a note, and I folded it up and I stuck it in the wall. If you stick a note in the wall, it is believed that your prayers will go up to God. So it was quite a moving experience. So I know that there are certain places that I would love to visit. Like I would love to go to Tel Aviv, and I would love to go to Jerusalem, and I would have loved to visit the Israel Guide Dog Center for the Blind, where I donated money for my bar mitzvah project, but I couldn't because they said that it was back a few years ago when Israel was bombing Gaza and vice versa, and there were all these sirens and bombs, and the people reached out to the museum, and they said that the dogs would be too scared by the sirens, and it just wouldn't work out. So I know that there are some other places that I want to go to, but at least it was a good experience. The whole program was 6 weeks, but you know, because of the other circumstances, I could only attend 3 weeks. But the whole group was doing something different, and they knew that I had never been to Israel, and the seminar people, and they knew that I wanted to they knew that there were some things on my bucket list. So they took me to Mount Masada while the other group was doing something different. And that night they had a talent show, and I was all wiped out from that day. I was asleep before 8. But anyway, it was quite an experience. So I'll certainly never forget it. So the only 3 countries that I've been to are Israel, Canada, and obviously U.S.
I was going to say, it sounds like the trip had a very powerful impact on you. It's unfortunate you weren't able to kind of see some of the things that you wanted to see, but you're right. You always have that chance or that opportunity to go back in the future and kind of make the trip your own.
Yeah, sure.
So you mentioned earlier you live in the Grand Rapids area and everything. What is it that you like to do for fun?
I really like reading. I'm reading this science fiction book now called The Red Queen. It came out in 2015. It's kind of a fantasy book. It's quite interesting. I don't want to spoil it, but and then I love music. I love everything. I love the radio, obviously, because that's, those of you who don't know, me and Trent met because we both listened to the radio, and he has called in to a gentleman by the name of Eric Zane. Maybe if you know Trent, even if you don't listen to him, maybe you've heard about him because maybe he's talked about it to you, but he is syndicated out of, he's not, he was formerly syndicated out of GR, but his show that he was on is still syndicated out of GR, and he was let go from that position, but he has started afresh, and his show is really taken off. No, it hasn't. But there are listeners from all over the country, Pennsylvania, New York, Illinois, Indiana, and so on and so forth. So you know, it's great that I've met so many listeners either face to face or via Facebook. So it's been quite an experience, and I like going back to music. I like all kinds of music. I like jazz. I like blues. I like you know, classic rock and all sorts of things. And people ask me what my favorite song is. I don't really have a favorite song. You know, it just, whatever song I like, but I like music from all over the decades, except maybe pop, and except maybe new country.
Do you like old country at least?
What was that?
Do you like old country at least?
Oh yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. But outside of like new country and like pop, then I don't know if you got a chance to listen to today's show, but Eric was reviewing the Wendy's mixtape. That's garbage, but I digress.
So I have 2 more questions for you. The last one is going to be what I think is my $1 million question for you. But is there anything that I didn't ask you today or that you kind of want to share?
Well, actually, I was born with slight cerebral palsy. I have one leg that's shorter than the other, and another one of my challenges, you know, I'm currently a part-time student at GRCC, or Grand Rapids Community College. I'm currently studying. I'm currently taking a music theory class, and going into music recording or production or something along those lines. A lot of my teachers, like, I don't know if it's because they've never had a blind person in their class before or what, but they don't, like, make an effort to describe things that much. Like, they say this is here and that is there. Like, I want them to be more specific. Like, here is here and that is there. I'm like, no, like, this is a G flat, and this D flat is a non-chord note. And so it's a little bit of a challenge, but I've gone through it, and as far as pictures are concerned, there are things called tactile graphics that there's this board, and I think I used this mostly in math and science classes in grade school. There's this board, it's called a graph screen, and you have your own little stylus, and you can draw pictures of it, like in geometry when I had to learn about shapes. Like my parapro would draw like a rhombus or a trapezoid or whatever, and then I could visualize with my fingers what the class was about, like what the concept is. And I think I read in a magazine for a organization advocating on behalf of the blind that they're going to make a 3D graphic printer so that tactile graphics can be printed almost instantaneously. So that'll be a really cool. I mean, they've already done the blind driver challenge at Daytona International Speedway, so they might as well start printing tactile graphics.
What's the blind driver challenge?
Oh well, the current president of this organization is called the National Federation of the Blind. It's made up almost entirely of blind individuals. The current president, Mark Riccobono, who was not the president at the time, I think it was back in 2011, before the Daytona 500, they outfitted Ford Escape with technology that would allow blind people to drive, and it was a test. And so he got in the car, and so they set up an obstacle course with cones, and he navigated around the course successfully, all by himself. I think they made special gloves. I only read about it. I didn't see any videos about it, but it's quite a challenge. Now, some of you may be wondering, how do I watch videos? When it comes to movies, our local theater here does have all of its movies on descriptive audio. So what you do is you go to the concierge desk and you arrange for headphones, and those headphones cost nothing, and you get to sit in the theater and you get to enjoy the movie like everybody else. As far as YouTube videos go, I just watch them by myself. But
this might be a silly question, but do you drive?
No, I don't drive at all. That was just a test. To see if that technology worked.
What is your thought on these driverless? Well, not driverless because you're still sitting in the driver's seat, but these self-driving cars.
Well, first I'll tell you how I get around. I get around because I take a paratransit service, which gets people from where they get dropped off to where they get picked up, door-to-door service, and it's a great service, and I rely on it constantly. So that's how I mainly get around, with some supplemented with my parents grabbing me, you know, places that are close by. But anyway, that about the driverless cars, that was my very first call to Eric Zane was about driverless cars. That was my very first call into the show. And now they've recently suspended testing because that poor lady was fatally injured in the Uber crash. I mean, but I don't think it'll be suspended for much longer. I think there's definitely some potential. I mean, I don't mind relying on people to drive me, but if it comes down, if in the next 5 or 10 years there is a car that I can get into and go somewhere, it would definitely be music to my ears. It would definitely give me more freedom to go anywhere, to do things that I want to do. Like, for example, the Pure Transit has restrictions. Like, you can only go to places within the county that you live. Like, if I wanted to go somewhere outside of the county, I'd have to get someone to take me. So I think a self-driving car would definitely help me in that endeavor.
Yeah, that's great. I know it is tragic that young lady died. I did see that the other day. So hopefully they get the kinks worked out of those cars and they'll be on the roads before we know it. So my last question for you today, we've talked a lot about the challenges that you've kind of seen not being able to see. What do you feel it is, in your opinion, that those of us that can see, what do you think that we take for granted?
Well, you know, the beauty of nature, you know, sunrises, sunsets, rainbows, all double rainbows, all sorts of things, like gifts and memes and pictures and all sorts of things, and all kinds of things, like optical illusions or something like that, or like, you know, you realize I judge people from within. If somebody, you know, tells me, hey, that person looks ugly, or that person's really ugly, you know, I don't really care about that. I'm not going to ask them about it. I don't care if they have 2 nose rings or whatever. If they talk in a voice, or their voice seems to be unpleasant or doesn't capture what I'm looking for, then it doesn't appeal to me. But I'm not saying this to insult people. To me, beauty comes from within. So I don't, what you look on the outside is foreign to me. How you present yourself on the inside matters to me. So there's a lot of body shaming in our culture and stuff. I don't want to be a part of that, and I have no desire to be a part of that. And this is another thing that a lot of people are scared of is needles. Like, I'm not scared of needles. Somehow they don't scare me one bit, but a lot of people I know are scared of needles. I don't know if it's because they can see them, like how teeny they are.
Well, they hurt. I hate needles. They hurt.
Yeah, I know they hurt, but I mean, it doesn't hurt as bad as I thought it would be. So it's, I don't know, I'm trying to think. Those are the things that come to mind right now.
I know, I probably caught you off guard with that one. Like I said, it was my million-dollar question that I had.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I appreciate that. Like you were saying, like we probably take, like you said, nature for granted a lot, the things that we can see out there and everything. And then on the other side, I guess, like you said, the advantage for you would be that you truly do judge within. A lot of people say don't judge a book by its cover. And that's what, honestly, that's what a lot of people do. They judge a book by its cover. But you aren't able to do that. And so you right away, you're able to judge them for who they really are, who they are within. And I think that's saying a lot in your favor and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. So, I really try to go beyond what people can see. I really try to experience the world through my other four senses and really try to find out what the world means to me. You know, I still live at home with my parents. I'm 21. I eventually want to move out one day and experience what the world has to offer. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Cool. Well, thanks for taking the time today, Saul, to talk to me. I really appreciate it. And I'm sure that people are gonna love your story, and they definitely can take something away from it.
Yeah, you're welcome, Grant. I'm sorry that I sounded like them throughout the whole interview.
You're fine.
I'm trying, for those of you who don't know, there's the co-host on the show stutters a lot, and he has trouble thinking. He either butchers words or he has trouble thinking of the right words to say. So I'm trying to think of the right words, the right phrasing to describe everything. I'm trying to think of how I want to phrase my answer to the question. And I'm sorry if I went on diatribes or whatever. It just things came to mind and I wanted to share them. So,
and that's what this platform is for. Just share whatever you want to share, and it doesn't matter if you stutter through it or what it is. I'll tell you, when I've done my podcast the last couple of weeks without guests, I kind of do the same thing. I just make it up as I go, and that's really all you can ever do is just make it up as you go.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
For usually... And I've heard motivational speakers, they talk about how this circumstance or this situation influenced them to become a motivational speaker. Was there something in your life that influenced you to be a motivational speaker?
Yeah, so for me, I saw a speaker. I was in a group called PALS. It was Peer Assisted Listeners in high school, my junior and senior year. And I don't remember whether it was junior or senior year, but we went to this conference, and Sean Derrick was the keynote speaker, and he just had such energy and passion. Funny enough, I can't tell you what his message was at the time, but it had an impact on me at the time. I remember that because he was the first person that I ever said to myself, like, I know I want to be a motivational speaker because of him. And then it's kind of gone in waves over the past couple of years, and I'll get these short bursts of energy to focus on it, and then I'll kind of back off and get busy with life. But I think trying to incorporate this into my life a lot more, and now that I have a speech or a talk written, that's been huge for me. And I saw a motivational speaker a couple months ago, Blake Fly. And he's just been an inspiration to me. He's been a good mentor so far. And so, yeah, I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see where it goes. I just have a huge passion for talking to people and being center of attention, which is something Leanne and I compete for. And so if I can win the ultimate center of attention battle between me and her, that would mean the world to me.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's just that passion.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I wish you luck in your endeavors. And, you know, my mom was born in Wisconsin. She was born in Superior, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And my dad was born in St. Louis Park, which is a suburb of Minneapolis. So we often go to those places to see our relatives. So
yeah, you were just in Minnesota over winter break, right?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
That's why I couldn't come and meet you in person, unfortunately.
Well, soon. Soon.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you for giving me this opportunity. I really appreciate it, and I hope that, you know, someone will be inspired by this. You know, I grew up blind, but that hasn't stopped me from attaining my vision. You know, get it. You know, yeah, no pun intended, but my vision is to be a successful adult, you know, living the life I choose. And hey, if people ask me questions, a lot of times people ask, like, that's so amazing. You can do this, you can do that. You know, it's just what I do. I don't consider it like an extraordinary feat of strength that I can dress myself or that I can, you know, do some microwave or do anything like that. I just consider it life. Like, everybody can do that. Everybody can do something, you know? So I just consider that. I just want people to know that, you know, just take life by the reins and see what happens and see how life wants to do with you. So.
Awesome. Have a great afternoon, Saul.
All right. Thank you, Trent. We'll be talking.
All right. Bye-bye.
Peace.
A couple hours after our interview, Saul and I were messaging back and forth on Facebook for a little bit, and he told me that I could share this. You know, something that I didn't share is how hard it is to fit in sometimes. Whenever I post on my wall that I'm going to be somewhere, and I invite my friends to say hi, if they see me, nobody shows up. I've messaged certain people and asked them if they'd like to hang out, and nobody has responded. The Zaniacs are the only group of people that I have consistently hung out with, but many of them are older than me and many of them have kids of their own. I've made friends in high school, but I wasn't asked if I wanted to go anywhere, and I rarely sat by anyone at lunch because it was, and still is, only 20 minutes. That's just enough time to eat and be on your way. While I like posting and interacting on this platform, he was referring to Facebook, I'd love to be able to have face-to-face interactions with people. I've been doing that through my volunteer work at Meals on Wheels and the Sightseer Reading Service, but it would be nice to do it in a recreational setting. I'm good at making friends, but they don't want to come to me. Is it because my blindness makes them shy, or is it because they don't want to offend me by making jokes at me? Is it against their culture to invite a blind person into their home? Do they think I'll trip and fall and cause an embarrassing faux pas? Whatever it is, it's been bugging me for a while, and I don't know what to do. I'd love to make friends that are here in this area while being mindful of my circumstances. I've thankfully never been teased or bullied because of my disability, but maybe that's another reason. I greatly thank Saul for coming on this week and sharing about his struggles that he's had with blindness and growing up and what that's been like. I appreciate him sharing a lot about his religion and being vulnerable in that sense. It's something that I've talked about before on this podcast a couple weeks ago. Feel free to go back and listen if you'd like to. But being vulnerable, and I feel like Saul was very vulnerable today, and I applaud him for that greatly. For me personally, I think the biggest thing that we can all take away is that Saul has the luxury to not judge people by just seeing them. He's actually doing what we've all been taught, not judging a book by its cover. Because he is actually getting to know them and get to know what's on the inside and who they are and what they're like. And I think that's something that we can all take away. To me, that's the biggest takeaway of this week. Don't judge a book by its cover. Look within. Have a great week, everyone.